Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Well, God is good. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Glory. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, you know, as I was getting ready to come tonight, I heard something in my spirit that was quite interesting. Praise the Lord. It's real simple. Well, what I heard in my spirit was what's coming is bigger than what we think. Hallelujah. And I don't know about you, but I received that. Hallelujah. What's coming is bigger than what we think. So we can think pretty big and things where we think, you know, it's better than what we think too. Hallelujah. I'm just excited for what God's doing. I'm excited for what He has for us. Glory to God, because there's great and wonderful things. God has promised to save the best for last. We know that according to the Word, and we know that what's coming is better than what we think. You know, He tells, of course, Ephesians 3:20 tells us that He does exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or think. Praise the Lord. And so, but what we're asking for, what we're seeking is bigger than that. We just endeavor to get into it. We follow the Lord. We follow the Spirit. Praise the Lord. You know, the one thing I love about following the Spirit of God is that it's not so rigid as just following laws and rules and you know, certain, I mean, there is importance to following doctrine and of course, stuff like that. But following the Spirit, you know, you learn things and God grows you. Praise the Lord. You know, in our minds, we can get very set in our ways. We can get very set in our direction. But God's Spirit will move us right out of that. Amen. And you'll think you'd be doing something perfect for a while, and all of a sudden God will show you a little bit better side of it. Amen. And glory to God. And it doesn't mean that His Spirit is in error. It means that He has to lead us according to the direction that we can receive. Amen. And so He starts with where we're at, and then He builds from there. And aren't you glad? Amen. He doesn't, you know, the nice thing about that is when you come in, He doesn't expect you to learn everything overnight. Glory to God, but He does expect you to learn. Praise the Lord. And as we flow with God, we're going to go into the greater and greater. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, tonight's message is called A Greater Desire. Praise the Lord. And we're going to be talking about the desires of man tonight. We're going to be talking about trusting in God. And we're going to be looking at this in kind of a way that I haven't really seen it before. We're going to be looking into it kind of a deeper level, but I know it's right according to the Word, and I think you'll see it there. Praise the Lord. But you know, we want to desire greater things. We want to desire what God has for us. We want to we have desires of our own hearts, but we have to find out what all that is. And getting into the plan of God is utterly imperative. It's something that I can't stress enough, and maybe even more today than I ever have before. Getting into the plan of God is, or being in the plan of God, or staying in the plan of God, however you want to look at it, because if you're already there, you want to stay there, amen. But being in the plan of God is the most important thing to a believer. It's the most important thing to a Christian. And I've been learning, you know, something I've been saying a lot recently in a prayer of mine that I've been putting before the Lord. Is I've just been, Lord, help me to not have my own opinion. Praise the Lord. Help me to not see things according to my opinion, you know. But help me not have an opinion of things, Lord. I want to be that person who's not judging every single thing that everybody else does, but looking in inwardly and seeing what God has for me to do. Amen. Sometimes it's a hard thing to do. As people of the world, we're kind of taught, raised in this manner. A lot of churches, you know, raise people in the matter of opinions. I've been seeing more and more, you know, the churches that have the opinion of a lot of people. I see where they fail more and more, and it's because they're not Spirit-led, because not everybody in the church is Spirit-led. Now, in any given church, we might have a percentage of people, even a high percentage of people, that are led by the Spirit, but that does not mean that everybody in the church is. And so if everybody isn't, but everybody has a say, if you outweigh the, you know, if the wrong outweigh the right in numbers, then a Democratic vote will take you in the wrong direction. And haven't we seen that? Praise the Lord. But, you know, if the, you know, God is a, well, praise God. Hallelujah. How do I want to say it? God works a lot different than that. Amen. God doesn't leave things up to our opinions or our votes. Praise the Lord. You know, I said this recently in a faith fix, and I really love it, but save your opinions for when you're painting your house. That's what they're meant for. Glory to God. If you want your living room orange with purple stripes, that's up to you. You can do that. Praise the Lord. And nobody has a right to say you that you're wrong. And that's about where your opinion rests. Amen. And just so you know, I'm not just preaching to you, but I'm speaking to me as well. Because my opinion doesn't matter as far as the church is concerned. My opinion doesn't matter as far as how the house of the Lord is built or what it should look like. All that matters is that God is pleased with it. Amen. Now, of course, in life, God gives us opportunities where we can have our desires. For example, we didn't seek the Holy Ghost on picking out the colors for this sanctuary, but I thank God that He's put it the ability on the inside of my wife and I to be able to see things that way. And so we can pick out colors that go together. And that doesn't mean everybody's going to come in here and like the colors. You may not, but that doesn't matter. That's where your opinion stays with you. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. But, he didn't necessarily consult that. But the location of the building, I didn't pick it. The location of the space and the amount of space that we have, I didn't pick it. I believe it was led by the Lord, and it seems to be working out quite well that way. Glory to God. But the same thing goes with Corey or any other thing that we've done. I haven't necessarily had my will or my way, but it has been the will of the Lord. And because of that, it prospers. Amen. Because everything that God has us do prospers. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Well, let's start in Proverbs 29:25. Praise God. Hallelujah. This here scripture going to bless you. Proverbs 29:25. Hallelujah. And this is one of those scriptures I saw in a little bit different light than I've ever seen it before. That doesn't mean I'm seeing something new in it. It just means that I think I'm seeing it more clearly. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Just going to make sure my phone's off, too. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Proverbs 29:25. It says here, "The fear of man brings a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord shall be safe." Praise the Lord. That word fear is also the word for anxiety. So you could say the anxiety of man brings a snare. Now, when we say it that way, it makes a little bit more sense to me. It sounds a little bit different than the way I've seen it before. The way I've always read this scripture was that when I look at it, I see, well, when the fear of man, meaning being afraid of man, it brings a snare. And although that can technically be true, just fearing somebody doesn't necessarily bring a snare. Amen? It doesn't snare you in your life. But we understand this according to what Jesus said. Said, don't have basically anxiety about anything. Don't worry about anything. Over there in Matthew, what is it, Matthew 6, praise the Lord. He told us not to worry about what we'll put on and so on and so forth. And we know that Job's fears of what could happen, praise the Lord, is what opened the door for him to, he said, that which I have feared has come upon me. And so we understand that about fear, that fear is not given, of course, of God. We know that God has not given us a spirit of fear. Praise the Lord. And so we have all these other scriptures that we can point to this concept and see this. And so if we read this a little bit differently, I think we'll see something in it a little bit different. Amen? This is not being afraid of others. There's no snare in that. But there is a snare when there's a fear that is built up in your life. Amen? And so the things that man can fear, the things that man can have anxiety over, if we want to say it that way, it's not just being, oh, I'm afraid of that thing, but things that you could have anxiety over can bring a snare into your life. And we're going to see that in the context of Scripture tonight. We're going to see how this works so often in our desires. Oftentimes, our desires are based in our anxieties. My anxiety, for example, that I may never find that spouse can drive me to find somebody who's not a good spouse. And we've seen this happen over and over and over again. Amen? So we see there that the fear or the anxiety of a man or a woman or humans, praise the Lord, that word man means mankind. It also means man, but it means mankind is what it's talking about. So the fear of mankind can bring the snare. Whatever fears are common to humans, whatever fears, and we see this as pastors, we see this the same things over and over. It's always the same force driving the same anxieties behind people. It's either money, it's relationships, it's all the basic stuff, the job issues or something like that. But it's all the anxieties of mankind that mankind deal with. All the earthly problems that man deals with can cause that. Amen. And so God's desire is not that we live in fear. It's not that we are live in anxiety. And we see that so clearly throughout Scripture. But it goes on to say, but whoever trusts in the Lord shall be safe. Amen. Whoever trusts in the Lord. This is a big, big statement. Because to trust in the Lord is not to just say, I trust in God. It's not just to say, I believe in God. It's not just to say that I've believed in Jesus for my eternal salvation. But in context here, what he's talking about is the way we live life. Amen. The fear of mankind, the anxieties of mankind are things that come up in life. They certainly don't come up in heaven. And so we see this, that the trusting in the Lord is in the same context. Do we trust in the direction of God? Do we trust in the things that God has for us? Recently, I heard a message by Pastor Nancy Dufresne, and I love how she said it. She said, you can trust God with your desires. The things in your heart, the things that you want, the things that matter to you. She said, you can trust God with them. And what was she talking about? She was talking about when you move into the direction of God, when you move to the plan of God, sometimes it's going to look like you got to put things down. Sometimes you are going to have to put things down, even for a time. Sometimes you may have to put things down forever. But the truth of the matter is you can trust God with all of that. Because, see, what happens is people don't really put their trust in God. They have their trust in things, and then their happiness is based on what they do or don't have. Amen? Yeah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Something I was seeing today and thinking about, and I never really even saw it this way before, but it's the truth. You all have heard me preach so often how Jesus never had any lack, which is truth. He never had any lack. But you know, when they were divvying up the spoils at the end, when Jesus was put on the cross, the most valuable thing he had was his robe. And that was what they were divvying up. But you never hear about, you never hear about millions of dollars going into the funding of the gospel. In fact, you see the apostles just not too long after that, you know, still needing the funding of the gospel, people to fund it. And we know that there was women that went with Jesus and funded his work. And we know that when Jesus, everywhere he went. Now, I'm not saying that Jesus was poor. He certainly was not. But Jesus wasn't rich in the sense, I don't believe, in the sense that we necessarily think of as being rich. And God has not promised us to specifically have a certain number in the bank account, not saying that you can't or that you won't. I believe with all my heart that God has no issue and wants us all to be fully supplied, having more than enough to give in to every good work, just as the Bible says, that we are abundantly supplied, that we have a wealth for everything. But that does not mean that we will all have specifically $1 million or that we're all going to specifically have a set amount. What it means is that we have access to anything that's in God's plan. Praise the Lord. And so whatever God has us do, wherever he has us go, you know, just when we were down in Pensacola this week, we were listening to a message, and as he was preaching, God was dealing with my heart on a lot of things. And I was thinking about some of the things that I was thinking about. Places like where I should go and do I need to go here and pray, and do I need to go there and pray, and things like that. And just as I was thinking along those lines, and the message was being preached, you know, it was in line with the message. I wasn't daydreaming out there in the world, you know what I mean? But it was in long lines of what he was talking about. The Lord spoke to my heart very clearly and said, I have prepared a place for you. Now, you know, if you were in the service on Saturday night in Corey, I was preaching along the lines of God preparing a place. But God was speaking it to my heart there, and he put it in the context of some specific things that I have in my life. Now, the things that he put it in context with were things that I never thought that I would have. They were things that I would never thought that, a house that I never thought I could own, property that I never thought I have, and other things, you know. But he said, I prepared a place for you. And I knew in context what he was talking about was he had prepared a place for me to access all that I need. Everything that I need is found in that place. Now, the blessing of the Lord, as Proverbs 10:22 says, will make one rich. But the Bible says he adds no sorrow to it. And that's important to add that in there. Proverbs 10:22, the blessing of the Lord makes one rich, and he adds no sorrow to it. Amen? And so we understand this, that God's increase will bless us in areas that make us rich. And when I'll say this, I'd like to say it this way, that make us feel rich. Amen? You'll feel, and again, that rich, we can't get stuck on the word rich. It doesn't just mean Bill Gates, billionaire, or something like that. But the word rich in Scripture literally means a full supply, abundantly above all that we ask or think. Amen? More than what we need. Hallelujah. A cup running over kind of thing. Amen? And so most of us that live in this country already have that. But God is talking about rich in a way that blesses us, where we look at ourselves and feel like, you know what? I'm rich. I'm full. I'm supplied. I love my kids as an example of this, because my kids, growing up, if you ask them, they said we didn't ever feel poor. Now, there was times in our life where we had, I mean, just next, I mean, we have preached about it. Absolutely nothing, but my kids never felt it. Why? Because they knew that they were always supplied for. The things that they wanted would show up, and sometimes they didn't even worry about how. And this is the exact same way that God desires us to live. It's just like that. They didn't know that mom and dad didn't have nothing. They didn't know that we were, you know, that sometimes we were fretting, and maybe we did a good job at not, you know, showing our stress. I would hope, like to hope that's what we did, amen. That means that we did all right at parenting anyways. But they didn't feel like they weren't wealthy, you know. I think one time somebody was asking Ezra, and she was pretty sure that we were millionaires, you know. I mean, she, and of course, that hasn't happened yet, but, you know. But it's the way that she perceives things, amen? And the reason they perceive them is not because they're lied to. It's because that everything is always fully supplied, that there's an abundance to everything, that, you know, if they wanted something sweet, sometimes there was something sweet there. And if there wasn't, we'd tell them, you know, well, you don't need nothing sweet right now because you've had too much. Maybe we lied to them a little bit or something. I don't know how it went. But they always felt like they could have the sweet if we wanted to give it to them, amen? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Well, God desires that we look at him the same way. Even in those times where it seems like there's lack, we have to know that there's a supply. And the thing that I've found in the last few years has proven it to my wife and I over and over. We have endeavored to give more to people and be more of a blessing to people than we ever had. And I've come up with some pretty creative offerings in the recent times. I say I have, but you know, I mean, I've presented them, but I know the Lord has led me in those ways. And the thing that we found out is that every time we put one of these offerings forward or we stepped out in these things, that God's supply always, every single time, without fail, met our expectations and exceeded them. And that is a pretty amazing statement. What does that mean? And now, again, you could go to my bank account, and I don't know how much there would be in there, but I can guarantee you it's not tens of thousands of dollars. I can guarantee it's probably not thousands of dollars. I'm just guessing, but I could pretty much say that, you know. It might be hundreds of dollars. I don't know fully, but my point in saying this, is that certainly has not been near what we've given. Amen? But God has been showing us principles and teaching us things through that as we trust him and we step out in faith, his supply always meets us because his supply is not dependent on whether or not we have a certain amount coming in. It's not dependent on whether or not we see a certain amount in our paycheck or that somebody gives us a certain inheritance or anything like that. And what I'm speaking of here will help you if you really grasp what I'm saying. Because the truth is you may be sitting there thinking that you have nothing. But see, it's just a perception because we know with God we have everything. And that is not metaphorical. That does not mean, oh, with God we have everything. It means, no, our Father is loaded. Hallelujah. All the gold is his. All the silver is his. And therefore, anything that's in his plan that's for us, we have access to. And the Holy Ghost wants to lead us into that. The problem is so often we get sidetracked by our desires. Now, am I saying desires are wrong to have? Absolutely not. Our desires are a good thing to have. Amen? Desires are a good thing to have. But just like everything else, they are not to rule you. Amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. So the anxiety, and we find so often in life, I don't know, I've found this, I'm sure you have too, but so often in life, probably a majority of your anxieties are based around something that you don't have, that you don't currently possess. Whether it's the amount of money for a bill, whether it's a spouse, whether it's a house that you want, a car that you want, whether it's something you need, it doesn't matter, but it's based around something you don't have. And if you're seeing that way, if your anxiety is that way, that means that your trust has not been built in God to the place where it needs to be. Because true trust in God knows that everything, that you have access to everything, and so you will not lack. Now, here is the thing. This is an interesting thing. I'm going to bring this up again because I want to make sure that I hit this point. Not lacking does not mean that you have readily accessible ability to cash a $100,000 paycheck or cash a $100,000 check or to write somebody a $100,000 check. And there is a reason for this. It's not God just trying to put something out there dangling overhead. It's not a good way of a fancy way of a preacher saying something just to make you feel better about not having anything. But what is the most important thing that we see in Scripture that God wants us to live by? Does anyone know? Faith. Faith. Faith is what matters to God. You know, the Lord was showing me so many things today, things that didn't even apply to this message. I was studying some things out and just got really excited. But one of the things he showed me is, you know, it would be so easy for God to come down on earth and stand right here in front of us, wouldn't it? Nobody would have a question about it. But what has God used from the beginning of time until now, all throughout Scripture, as we see all through Scripture, the very first Scriptures we see at the what of God was hovering over the face of the earth. The Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is not something we see. The Spirit of God is not something that we visualize, but it is something that we are told about all through Scripture. In fact, all the way up until we see the Spirit in the Garden of Eden, but then we also see all the way up until Jesus comes into the picture. Jesus was God in the flesh, so we could see him. But he said that was not good enough. That's an amazing statement. God physically standing in front of us was not good enough. Think about that. God physically standing before us, Jesus said himself, was not enough. Amen. He said, it is good that I go away, because then the Comforter will come. And he will dwell what? In you. See, the physical God can't dwell in us. The Spirit of God can dwell in us. And God wanted us to be commingled with him. He wanted us to experience that. Honestly, to tell you the truth, I could say this, and it's not a stretch at all. God wanted us to experience what it's like to be him. He wanted us to experience the life that he lives. Praise the Lord. The Bible tells us that. It tells us that we are to live the life of God, that the life of God is supposed to be manifested in us. What is that? That same creative power, that same force, that same faith, knowing that nothing is ever elect. See, in the natural, in the physical realm, you'll never know what's going to happen tomorrow. You'll never know what you have before you. You never know what fully is yours. Your house could be there today and they could take it tomorrow. Praise the Lord. It's the truth. Does that mean that the Spirit of God is going to, we know that God has told us that he wasn't going to stop all bad things from happening. And there's reasons for that, but he wasn't just going to come in and stop all bad from happening. Praise the Lord. But what did he promise us? He promised us victory through all of that. What does victory look like? Well, praise the Lord. There was many times in this past year that I wanted to quit. I was just talking to my wife about this. And I said, but we didn't quit, did we? No. What was the sign of victory? We didn't quit. We kept going, praise the Lord. And so we have the victory because we haven't quit. Amen. What in a team or on a game, if you're playing a game with a team sport, whether it be baseball or football, as long as the game is in play, as long as you don't quit, you haven't lost, right? As long as the game is in play. Now, I know there's rules that limit the game, but if you took out rules that limit the game, I mean, if you think about rules that limit our life, it's the fact that we won't always live here on earth, and so we have a set amount of time to do things, so that is a limitation. That's the end of the game rules. I know, like in baseball, what is it? if it's zero to something for the first seven innings or something like that, then it's automatic win or something like that, you know. I think is am I right on that? Yeah, mercy rule, praise the Lord. Yeah, hallelujah. And sometimes we get the mercy rule, praise the Lord. The truth of the matter is, as long as you keep playing the game, even if you're not playing it well, you don't lose. You get to keep playing. You get another inning or another down or another whatever, amen? You go into another quarter or however it works, praise the Lord. You get to skate around the rink one more time. I don't know how it all works, praise the Lord. But you know what I'm saying. You get the point, amen? As long as we don't quit, we have the victory. Our victory is in how we're standing. And that's what we don't, that's so often where we miss it. We think, well, I want the victory. They think the victory is the trophy, but that isn't the victory with the things of God. The victory is the fact that you still are contending for the trophy. Now, if you're saying, well, I want the trophy, then this is what we have to understand about that. That means you got to die, because we know the trophy comes in heaven. The crowns are given in heaven. God blesses us. He gives us the final trophy after the game is over. Amen. But we, as long as we're in the game, if we haven't quit, we're still in victory. This is a whole new way of looking at things, folks. This is a whole new way of looking at life. This is a whole new way of stirring yourself up when you're having a bad inning. Have you ever noticed that? I don't watch a lot of sports, but once a year at least, we try to get to a baseball game. And one thing I've noticed is that you can have the first few innings, it can be really bad in a baseball game. But then all of a sudden, man, something happens. They ate their Wheaties. They did something, kicked in. I don't know what it was. And all of a sudden, that other team came out of nowhere, hit a home run or something, drove three people in. And all of a sudden, now they're way ahead. I mean, when you're in the sixth or seventh inning and the score is even a couple apart, you can't call the game yet because you never know what's going to happen in the next few innings. And so it's the same thing with you and I. If we haven't been taken out, then we still have a note of victory. But we do know this, and this is a great thing, is that even if we got taken out, we still have the victory. So in that case, even if we miss it, well, we're still good. But the point that I'm trying to make is if you're still drawing breath, if you're still here, if you're still getting up, if you're still going, if you haven't quit, then you still have the victory. Amen. It means you have it. Why? Because God's promised it to you. Praise the Lord. Well, praise God, hallelujah. I got to get moving here because I just preached half the night away, and you had to start that after when we started. He started at the wrong time. Josh, turn to Psalm 37:3. Probably won't spend a lot of time here just because we know it, but I did need to bring this up. Praise God, hallelujah. Psalm 37:3. Yeah, because there's lots of good stuff I want to get to. I haven't even got to the good stuff yet. Praise God, hallelujah. We're going to read 3 and 4. Of course, we know this. Trust in the Lord and do good. Of course, I just talked about a lot of trusting in the Lord, what it means. Dwell in the land and feed on His faithfulness. Notice it doesn't say feed on what your paycheck doesn't mean. See, that's the thing. This is why it's so much better to trust in God than your paycheck. Because how many know in here sometimes your paycheck ain't enough? Anybody? Amen? But your God is. I said your God is. It doesn't matter what your paycheck is unless you're trusting in your paycheck. If you're trusting in your paycheck, well, you got yourself a God that isn't enough. But if you trust in God, praise the Lord, it doesn't matter what your paycheck is. Praise God. Hallelujah. There's sometimes God will put something on your heart to do and you'll be like, oof, I can't do that. He's like, I didn't ask you. I just tell you to be obedient to what I did. I didn't ask you to go do it on your own. How about using faith? When God puts something on your heart, that's your cue to sit there and go, all right, Lord, you got me doing this. So that means that must mean I can. That's as good as written word. I'm just telling you the truth. When the Lord deals with your heart to do something, it's just as good as the written word. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. That's the truth. How do we know that? Well, Romans 8:17, 8:14? As many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Praise the Lord. So we know that according to the Word, that if we're led by the God, that makes us our spiritual children, right? Praise God, makes us His children. Well, anyways, delight yourself also in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. Now, I have preached this scripture. I love this scripture. I have this circled in my Bible as a life verse, and it is. It's good. But I got it wrong all this time. Praise the Lord. Not completely. But I didn't see it fully. What it's talking about. He says here that He'll give me the desires of my heart. And so I put this before you because this question was asked to me. Do you know what the desires of your heart are? And you could sit there and say, well, yes, Pastor Jeff, I do. I want this and I want this. I desire this. I desire that. Those might be the lusts of your mind. Those might be the ideas that you've got in your head. That might not be the desire of your heart. How do I know this? How can I put this in a way that's understandable? Because God started dealing with me on this. Because He started bringing me things that I wanted. But He brought them to me a little bit differently. And I thought, well, that's not what I asked for. That's not the way that I asked for it. But He brought it to me and it blessed me. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Yeah. He brought it to me and it caused me to increase in life. Yeah. And I started seeing this. I started walking in this, and I was like, do you know that Mayville is not necessarily the town I would have picked? There's a town close by. Just naturally speaking, there's a town that the town itself, there's a little more people. It's a little bit nicer as far as the houses that I like kind of thing. And I would have gone to that town if I had my choice. Praise the Lord. But God had something here. And now when the Lord spoke to me and said, I prepared a place for you, it wasn't in that other town, but it was in this town. Well, it's close by, you know, it's in this address. Praise the Lord. And so, and I'm not preaching experiences, but he started showing me the desires of my heart and the ideas of my mind are not the same thing. That sometimes I want something just because I want it. You know, you may want something. You may want, say you're in a financial trouble. You may just want the financial trouble to end, but God doesn't want you thinking about that. Jesus said, don't think about that stuff. He literally said, don't think about it. If you're giving it thought, you're already out of the will of God. So if you're thinking about how we're going to do this and how we're going to do that, you're out of the will of God. You haven't left it with him. Praise the Lord. But he wanted us to use our faith, not for the things that we get for ourselves, but the things that he wants us to do. And he said that when you go out and you do the will of God, when you do my will, I'll back you up. Seek first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness. And all these things shall be what? Says added to you. It doesn't say that you'll sit there beg and plead and cry and pray and believe God for them. It says they'll be added. The things that God wants to do in your life, he wants to add them to you. But see, so often, listen, and we're all caught in this, but we get focused on the thing. And that's what it always is. It's the thing. If it's a sickness, you're focused on the sickness, not God. God said, don't focus on the sickness. Focus on me. He said, don't focus on the trial. Focus on me. Why did Paul and Silas get out of prison? Because they didn't focus on being in prison. They focused on God. It said they sang praises to God. And everybody heard them. Like, who are these crazy guys? Praising their God. They're in jail. But see, the other ones didn't have the prison shaken. The other ones didn't have the chains fall off and the doors open. The other ones didn't get people saved. The other ones just sat there in prison looking at the others thinking they're crazy. And you can say, well, you're just reading that. The Bible doesn't say that. Yeah, but you know full well that if you were sitting in prison singing about how good they got it, you would be thinking they're crazy too, right? Absolutely. Most Christians do. Most Christians think we're nuts because we raise hands and we praise God. Most Christians do. Praise the Lord. So why do you think that people aren't seeing it? Because their desires are off. They think that their desire is this thing. And sure, maybe that is a desire, but really that's just something to appease your mind. Because here's the truth about trial. If you conquer one trial, another one's going to come and another one's going to come. If you get over one financial trial, you don't think there's another one waiting for you? Especially if you're somebody who's tripped up by financial trials, because the devil's going to look at you and say, well, fine, they're tripped up. They got past this one. That's fine. I got plenty more for them. I can send more their way. And guess what? He will. And he does. And he's effective at it. And then you get tripped up again and tripped up again and tripped up again. Why? Because your mind is not on the right thing. You're desiring the trial to end. And God says, just desire me and I'll make sure it ends. I'll make sure you get through with it. Stop thinking about the thing that you're going through. And folks, let me tell you something. I am not just up here preaching at you like you're doing it all wrong. I am preaching at every single Christian that lives, including myself standing before you. This is revelation to me too. It's to say, stop looking at the trial that you are going through and keep looking at me. Even people that are going through a sickness, and I understand this, it is not wrong to want the trial to end. I'm not saying that it is. But it is wrong to get your focus wrong. Why do you want to increase in life? Why do you want your finances to be full? Is it so you can bless God? Is it so you can be a better in his kingdom? Because if it's not, your desire is already off. And it's not a desire of the heart, not a godly desire. It's a lust of the flesh. Because the lust of the flesh always wants to feed the flesh. What's the flesh want? When the flesh is hungry, it wants to be full. Right? Am I wrong? When the flesh is sick, it wants to feel better. What don't you like about being sick? Why is sickness such a bad thing? Because it makes you feel miserable. I am not saying it's wrong to want to feel better. By God, don't twist what I'm saying. Don't take what I'm saying wrong. But the desires of our hearts is what God wants to give us. Praise the Lord. He's not trying to fulfill the lust. And of course, we have scriptures like this, and I wanted to go to them, but I don't have time. I don't even have time to go to the scriptures I wanted to. But you know in James, where it says, you ask not because you have not because you ask not. And if you don't have, you don't have because you ask amiss, so that you may spend it on your pleasures. People don't think about increasing so that they can bless or pay off the building. They think about increasing so they can go buy a new car or go on another vacation. God would give you all that. He doesn't care. But he doesn't want your focus on that stuff. But Christians have taken the prosperity message and they cling to it. And mostly people cling to it because they're dealing with poverty. They're sitting there dealing with poverty and they hear someone say, God wants you blessed. And they think, great, I want to follow that way. So I want to be blessed like God wants me blessed. But the problem is that God says he wants you blessed, but he wants you blessed to be a blessing. He wants you increased to increase others. Praise the Lord. And until people realize this, faith says to step out first, not to wait. Faith says to step out because you trust in God. What is proof that you trust God? That when he says go, you go. When he says do, you do. You don't ask, you don't need to know how it's going to happen. You just trust that it's him. You just trust that he wants to take you. I'm telling you, this will give you a whole new life. It'll give you a whole new way of looking at life when you just say, you know what? We're blessed because we're children of God. Yeah. See, the thing about the Jews that's amazing, that if you, even today, if you talk to most Jews, people who were raised Jewish, they believe that they're blessed. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they believe it so much that they know it. Yeah. Yeah. And they believe that if they're not blessed, that it's something they've done. And so they know that they have access because they know who their God is, or the, you know, to a degree anyways. They know that side of him. But that's the way that they think. And, you know, of course, there's lots of Jews about the Jews and all these different things, you know. About the masses of money and banks and all this stuff. There's some truth to that. Yeah. The truth is that God is still blessing him. But that's just a little tiny example. They don't have the Spirit of God who wants to lead you into all the fullness of it. Praise the Lord. Most people are acquainted with the lusts of their mind, and they think that they are the desires of the heart. And most people are consumed with their lusts. Now listen, again, I'm not just picking at you. I'm saying this is everybody. This is across the board. This is one of the things that we as humans have to contend with. So I'm not looking at you saying that, oh, you're a lustful, prideful person and you're just terrible. No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying you were born into this nature. The reason we have the truth is to help us see above that nature. Amen? Pray and beyond that nature. Glory to God. Even in healing, what you got, there's a question that arises when someone's dealing with healing, even in myself. Why do I want to be healed? Do I want to be healed so I can run harder for God? Or do I want to be healed so I don't feel this anymore? See, the motives can be wrong. Now, it's not wrong to want to feel better again. But if that's just all that it ever is to you, because there's people that get their healing and then they go out and they don't serve God anymore. There's people that come to church until they get that thing fixed and then they're gone. We've seen it happen. Praise the Lord. All the time. We've seen it in just 6 years, we've seen it happen. But I've seen it happen in other churches as well, because this is a human condition. This is why God puts us in the place of faith, because he doesn't want it to be superficial like that. But God does fully want to bless us. 1 Corinthians 11:31, it says, just look at it up here. I'm just going to pull it up. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. You know, Paul goes on to say in another part in 1 Corinthians, he says, I know nothing against myself. Praise the Lord. And what was he saying? He was saying that in looking at myself, I don't really have a real knowledge of myself. But I seek God and ask God to show me what's wrong. Show me, Lord. Show me error in my ways. Show me what I'm not, where I'm deceiving myself. But see, there's a difference between somebody who doesn't want to be deceived and somebody who's willingly deceived. If you will be willingly deceived just because it's what you want, in other words, if you can't be taught the word because you've already had certain things made up in your mind, well, then you're willingly deceived and God can't help you with that. I can't help you with that. And there are Christians that could do more, but they won't ever do more. I'm telling you right now, I've seen it just as a pastor these few years. I've seen Christians that, I'm not saying they'll never break out of it, but I've seen people that I can't even talk to about certain things because of where their heart is, because they're willing to be deceived on themselves. Praise the Lord. And that's shameful. We should not be at a, we should always be a place where God can move on us. Praise the Lord and help us if that's what he if when he wants to do that. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. There are those out there that look at the gospel just as a means of increase. And I'm telling you, there's people in our circles that do that as well. They look at the gospel just as a way to get out of their problem, which is a means of increase. Whatever, you know, when we talk about increase, of course, in this church, we talk about anything that's increased in your life. And the context is increase for the better. Yeah. So in other words, you've gone from lack and something to a positive, a negative side of something to a positive side of something. And so, but there's people that think, they look at the gospel, they hear the gospel, they like hearing these things preached, but to them, all it is about is just increasing them. There's people, if you could say to them, I think about the man, was it Naaman in the Old Testament? Praise the Lord, that he was told by the prophet to go dip in the Jordan 7 times. And he got mad because that was the direction he got. And he's like, well, if they told you to do something harder. Well, so a lot of times Christians, if you could just tell them, if you'd be like, hey, if I could guarantee you, if you put $10 in the offering plate, you would walk out of the church and somebody would put $100 in your hand. If I could guarantee you, I bet you I could get just about everybody to do it. And if that was an actual thing I'm talking about, if that's not the way it works, but I'm saying if that was an actual thing, if I said, oh, you could be 100, actually the Bible says you can be 100-fold fruit, praise the Lord. So I could say, here, put $10 into the offering plate, and you'll go out there, and somebody will put $1,000 in your hand. Now, maybe some of you would do it, maybe some of you wouldn't, but the first three that went out there and did it and came back and told everybody else, you better guarantee that everybody's putting their $10 in the next time, praise the Lord. But see, that's a heart that just wants to, they just think of the gospel as a means of increase. If I told people that, they would do it. But I said, if you use your faith and you put that dollar in and you use your faith, that God will take care of all of your needs, that he will meet them and that he will exceed that even. Praise the Lord. You know, sometimes the way God will meet your needs is not always in a financial gift. Sometimes the way God will meet your needs is, man, you'll go to the store. I have had this happen again. I said again, it happened to me. My wife and I were down in Pensacola, and we were driving up to Mobile, Alabama. She said on the way back, she's like, "I'd like to stop at this outlet, whatever." Yeah, she wanted to stop and look at something for her. You were looking for something. Yeah, she was looking for a jacket, a new jacket. We were looking for a new jacket. So I sent her to Dillard's. I went to Joseph A. Banks. Praise the Lord, because that's where I go. And I go down there, and I start looking and. Man, I find some stuff that I want. So I gather it all up and get up there, make a long story short. When he rang me out, he said, "You saved $467. You owe me $32. That's not the favor of God? Well, of course it's the favor of God. That kind of stuff happens all the time. Why? Because God loves giving you favor. When you know that, it happens more because you sit there and you start expecting. You're like, well, God, you gave me that favor that one time. And that's just so I can look. That's just so I can dress nice when I go to church. Yeah. I'm talking. I picked out one of the ties. I picked out the shirt that I bought. A shirt, $100 shirt. I've never paid $100 for a shirt in my life. $100 dress shirt. Yeah, that was included in $32, by the way. Four ties, $100 dress shirt. Something else. But it doesn't matter. My point is this: that I have a desire to look nicer when I'm in the pulpit. So God says, okay. I'll help you with that. Praise the Lord. My point in saying this is not about finances. It's not about, it's just about this. Favor, and that is such the lowest favor of God. My Lord, things happen to us that are favor. And even on the way down, we started looking at things differently because I got hold of a teaching that just said that everything I do prospers. Oh, hi, hallelujah. You say, where is that? Well, it's in the first chapter of Psalms. Praise the Lord. It says, everything he shall do or everything he does shall prosper. So you know what I started claiming? Everything I do prospers. You know, when we started on that trip, there are a lot of things that looked like we weren't prospering. I said, nope, everything we do prospers. And so it does, praise the Lord. I'm just bringing up the point. It doesn't mean, maybe you don't care about ties and shirts and stuff like that. Except for church, I don't give a rip about that. I wear the same flannel every single day and a pair of ripped up jeans and be completely happy. Ask my wife. Actually, if you see me and I'm not here, that's what I'm wearing probably. Yeah. Praise the Lord. But my point is this, that God wants to pour out in our lives and he'll do it in all kinds of ways. Amen? Praise the Lord. We use this example for years. For the first how many years of Ezra's life, we didn't have to buy her one stitch of clothing. We never had to buy her diapers and we never had to buy one stitch of clothing. You ask any parent how expensive it is to raise a kid. Not once. Why? We had somebody who gave, and not just clothes. They gave us designer clothes that were barely worn for her. Well, praise the Lord, when the kid grows out of them in a month, what do you care if they're wore once? You know what I mean? Who cares? There ain't no parent that's going to look down and say, hey, well, that's a $50 shirt for a baby, but we'll take it, or I don't want it, you know, because it was worn once. Are you kidding me? Ain't nobody is that foolish, praise the Lord. The favor of God. See, and but God did that in a time when it was tight and things were, we didn't know what we're, and we used to be, we were tithers back then, and we'd say, where's the money? Because we were expecting that we had to look like we were rich. But see, it doesn't always have to just look like, in the sense that we don't have to prove in the bank account that I have that much money. It means that everything I do prospers. That if I touch my hand to it, it's going to prosper. It doesn't matter. If I have a job, it's going to prosper. Actually, if we would look at it right, we would understand this, that when we had, just because we are who we are, wherever we go, we bring prosperity with us. So praise God, hallelujah. If somebody hires me, the best thing they can do is put a born-again believer who knows who they are in Christ in their job, because all of a sudden that company will increase. They'll understand. They'll start seeing things they never saw before. They'll be, well, what happened here? What happened? And God, you know what God will do? He'll put the finger on you. You'll walk in, he'll see a halo or something over your head. It will be something, but they will make sure that God gives you the glory. Yes. Praise the Lord, if you just trust him. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. What the heck? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I was looking at the clock. Praise the Lord. 1 Timothy 6:3. Praise God, hallelujah. We have to start seeing ourselves as just blessed. That's what we are. We're blessed. I'll tell you what, it makes that bad day a lot better. Because when they were jacking with our flights on the way down there and they were doing all kinds of things, and I'm sitting there saying, I bought these tickets months ago. I'm not a last-minute ticket buyer. I bought them months ago so I would pick the seat, and they start jacking with it. I'm just telling you what, my inside, I wanted to just, nope. Everything we do prospers. Everything we do, I'm not having a bad, didn't I even tell you one point I'm not having a bad week? Yeah, everything we do prospers. We did. You know what they gave me? They gave me the nicest rental car I've ever had. I don't know if it was the nicest one I ever had. It's one I enjoyed the most, I'll just tell you that. Man, I enjoyed it so much, I almost cried when we left because I didn't want to leave it behind. We're pulling up, and I said, baby, I'm really going to miss it. I'm going to miss this car. What? And we just got to drive it around. They gave us this nice convert. Of course, couldn't use it because it was too cold, but, well, we did one day. Might be why they gave it to us, but it sure blessed me, hallelujah. We drove around in that thing. Praise God. But see, that's what I mean. We're down there doing, we are literally, we're getting fed and we're doing the work. Although we weren't just vacation, we're down there getting time with the Lord and spending time in services and all this stuff. But just because of that, and that's part of the work of the Lord, but just because God's blessing me on the side. But see, I could look at the weather and say, well, it's so cold out. I just don't complain. That's exactly what people do. They find anything to come. Am I going to get to that tonight? Praise the Lord. I better just go there. Read 1 Timothy 6:3-6, 3-6 later. Praise God. Praise God. And turn with me to Jude 1. We're going to see some good truths here. This is where I really need to get here. So we'll make sure that we do. I keep you here all night. Don't turn to Jude 2. Just go to Jude 1. Jude 1:14. Praise the Lord. It says, now Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about these men, also saying, behold, the Lord comes with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment on all, to convict all who are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have committed in an ungodly way, and of all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. Now notice that. So they're convicted. they're executing judgment on the ungodly to do the ungodly deeds in their ungodly ways, right? And the harsh words that ungodly sinners have spoken against him. Now look at it starts explaining these. These are grumblers, complainers. Now, let me break this down for you. Grumblers are people who grumble against God. Well, why? Where's God now? Well, you know, your word says that I, then I did that, but where's the increase? Well, the word says that I have favor. Where is it? That's a grumbler. Yeah. We've all been there. So if you're feeling bad, I feel bad with you. Because it's the truth. We have. I've done it recently. I'm just telling you the truth. We've all done it. And you'll sit there and think, well, I don't do that. But then you'll find a time when you do. Because it's what they do. This is what God calls ungodly. Grumblers. Complainers. Complainers is a little bit different. These are just people that complain about their lot in life. Nothing ever works out for me. They're not even using God. They're just saying, oh, why did they get that? Or why are they doing that way? That's a complainer. Yeah. So I don't understand why they chose to do that. I don't understand why they chose to use them and not me. I don't understand why they chose to do that. Why'd they hire them and not me? Listen, if you serve God, it doesn't matter who hires you. Because if you don't get hired, it was a blessing. And when you do get hired, it's a blessing. You know why? Because you're supposed to be blessed everything you do, everywhere you go. It's a blessing. Amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Can I use you as an example real quick on something? I won't use any real specifics, but praise the Lord. My sister Chris. You know, she used to work for the church, and there was some, both of our hearts, we knew it was time that she was going to move on, and that God had some other things for her. And so one of the things that she had told me early on was a certain kind of work and a certain job was going to be part of what she really felt. And it was one of those things that was kind of, because of her hours and stuff, was kind of hard. But all of a sudden, all this time goes by, and she finally, this opens up for her. But that's what was on her heart. And then when she enters into that, it was kind of a difficult situation. There was some things that were really working against it that made it, we'll just say, didn't look like the blessing of God. Am I right? Well, then what was it? What was it change your mind? Don't use a specific, but it was like it was something you decided to do differently, right? Just decided to walk in love and to be a Christian and to be, and persevere, push through it. Just decided to push through the trial. Amen? The other side. And all of a sudden, it turned around. The one that was being harassing stopped harassing and actually became friendly. Close a little bit. Yeah. 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 Praise the Lord. So the one who was attacking became close and a joy and a blessing. What's that? And somebody to witness to. All because she didn't quit. And see, she just gave up in the trial and said, no, I'm not saying. She went through the range of emotions. I'm pretty sure she was going to quit. She got to the point, and I'm not saying that for her because we all know that. We've all been there. When you're going through the trial, you're pretty sure you're done. You know what I mean? But something has to kick in at some point that raises you up beyond what everybody else is and say, you know something? Praise God. Because I'm a child of God, because I walk in His way, I'm blessed. Everything I do prospers. Everything. So if you're looking at something that's not prospering, speak to it and say, everything I do prospers. You don't have ability to not prosper because everything I do prospers and I'm doing you. Hallelujah. No, I'm telling you the truth. You got to look at it and say, this is where I am. This is where God's got me. Praise the Lord. Now, let's not take that the wrong way. I understand where some people were going with that and why people are giggling. But hey, praise the Lord. Look at it how you will. Just make sure it's godly. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Everything I do prospers. It all prospers. Praise God. Hallelujah. So they are grumblers, complainers, walking according to their own lusts. What was I saying about the desires? You think it's a desire of your heart? You know how I know this for a fact and I can prove it to you? How many people you know that they're sitting there, this is a desire of my heart, and you're looking at them and you're saying, that'd be the dumbest thing you could do. How many people have you ever looked at like that? You know it is. But this is what I want. This is a desire. It's not the desire. God, the blessing of the Lord makes one rich, and He adds no sorrow to it. So don't sit there and tell me that you're going to use a scripture out of context and say just because you lust after something that it's a desire of your heart and God's just going to give it to you. It doesn't work that way. God ain't going to bless you with something ain't going to bless you. Praise the Lord. And if you haven't been learned to be good and faithful with something, He ain't blessing you with more. If you can't be good and faithful where you're at, praise the Lord. I say this all the time. If God gives you a house and you can't take care of it, He ain't giving you a better house. If God gives you money and you can't take care of it, He ain't giving you more. Praise the Lord. It just ain't going to happen. It won't be a blessing to you. I don't care how much you desire it. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know what I mean? It's like people, sometimes people, they're like told, the doctor tells them, you can't do this anymore. You got to stop doing this, putting in your body. It's going to make you sick. And they just sit there and keep doing it. So where's God's healing? God's healing was back in the advice of your doctor when you decided not to listen. Why? Because you're being a bad steward. He ain't coming in and coming up and saying, well, you can just be as stupid as you want to. I'll just keep covering it. Because God don't work that way. I said he don't work that way. Praise the Lord. Yeah, amen. Praise God. But I didn't even get through that first scripture. To their own lusts, and they mouth great swelling words, flattering people to gain advantage. But you, beloved, remember the words which were spoken before by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how they told you that there would be mockers in the last time. That's what it is when you try to prosper against what the word says. Oh, we have people, we've had people, there's people just this week came to us, told us something. And it's like you know, and there's a point where I can say things and there's a point where I can't. And sometimes you just can't say anything. And I know that doesn't make a lot of sense to you, but it's just the truth. Sometimes just people won't listen and you just can't say anything about it. Why? Because you'd be wasting your breath. There's people that I sit there and preach about what's sin. And they go out there and live in it anyways. And then they say, you know, try to talk about how it's a blessing. Well, it's not the blessing of the Lord. The devil is letting you go for a little while, but he's about to bring all hell loose on your life. But because you won't listen to the word. You cannot go against the word of God and then expect that you will be blessed. You can't do it. Blessing of God does not work that way. You may get away with something for a little bit of time, maybe a lot of bit of time. But sooner or later, you're going to pay up. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. A mocker is somebody who thinks that they can do opposite of what the word says and still have the blessing of God. The Bible calls that mockery. There will be mockers in the last time. Remember, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man sows, that and only that he shall reap. There would be mockers in the last time who would walk according to what? Their own ungodly lusts. Almost said godly lusts, is it? Their own ungodly lusts. These are sensual persons who cause divisions, not having the Spirit. Wow. Now that word sensual, I had to look that up. It was one of the words that stuck out to me. It was really important. It means of or belonging to breath. In other words, it's the lower nature. It's the nature that we're born into, the human nature. That's what sensual nature is. It's not necessarily a bad thing, but it's just saying that that's what they are. They're sensual. They're sensual persons. They're just focused in the natural realm. People who only want what they want are people just focused on the natural realm. People who don't tithe, they're people that are just focused on the natural realm. Glory to God. It's the truth. When we complain, we act like the lower nature. We are not coming out from among them and being separate. And this is why I wanted to get to this, because we have to see this in our life. I want to give you an example of something. You mind if I give you a quick example? My wife and I, because we travel a lot, we're on the road a lot, we eat out a lot. One of the things we love to do is this thing called Yelp. We don't love to do it, but we look up Yelp. We use Yelp to help find restaurants to eat at. Because when we go someplace, I hate chain restaurants. I hate them. I don't hate them. I just don't like going to them. That's it. Praise the Lord. Why don't I like going to them? Because when I go somewhere, I want to experience what they got. That's how we get good food. We have meals that are unbelievable. We have some terrible meals too, but we have some unbelievable meals because we're willing to venture out. There's a little bit of risk in it, but we'll try it. Amen. We just had a pretzel that was big as our head, bigger than our head. Oh yeah, it was awesome. Because we ventured out. Amen. But so at any rate, we use Yelp. And there's been a few times that we've gone to a restaurant and we have had very, very bad service, food, everything. Everything was awful. We went to this one restaurant in Canada. My wife went, we went there, ordered, it was a wood-fired pizza type place. We love those places. Oh my gosh, we love those places. And they had all these awesome ingredients that you could put on them. And we love all the awesome ingredients. But my wife's a vegetarian, I'm not. We have different pizzas, so we got different pizzas, which is fine. Well, the guy screwed up. My wife happened to notice that he was screwing up, and he screwed up because he put all my meat on her pizza. And so instead of just going back and making a new pizza, what he decided to do was cover it up by taking all the meat off of her pizza and putting it on mine, and then covering hers with some other things so she wouldn't see it. The problem with that is he missed the little pieces of it. which to my wife was disgusting, and she could not eat it. And so she left a very, review. She left a good review. Not a good review, but she left a review, a well-written review. But I have also, I was just using it as an example, but I also have left a lot of well-written reviews. And because of my nature, I like to be a little bit expressive and kind of say some things that, you know, and use some wording. And I didn't swear in any of them, but, you know, use some wording that's colorful and really makes the place look, if it's bad, I make it look really bad. And all of a sudden, I start getting convicted about it. Because I wasn't just commenting on reviewing something isn't wrong if you review it, but I wasn't just commenting on, well, the service wasn't that good and the food wasn't that good and this is why. But I would get into just complaining and God started dealing with me on that. And I for the longest time I was dealing with this, and I was like, God, but this is how people know if restaurants are good or not, because of the reviews. And I was trying to justify it in my mind, and I couldn't quite get there. And then all of a sudden today, as I'm doing this, the Lord reminded me, why it got so bad I stopped reviewing places, because I'm just like, I'm not going to review a place and get convicted every time I do it. I just look at other people's reviews and decide whether or not I want to go. They just won't get my review anymore. But see, then I started realizing that what I was doing is complaining. And when I enter into complaining, because I wasn't just saying that it was not good. There's nothing wrong with giving an honest review, but giving a colorful review sometimes can be bad. And when you get into complaining, what you are doing is you are yielding to your lower nature. You're not yielding to your godly nature. Now, see, you want the blessing of God in your life, but you can't get it if you're always yielding to the lower nature. And God started showing me and started making me realize, wait a minute, this thing that I was doing was wrong because I'm constantly yielding to the lower nature. Instead of rising above and yielding to the higher nature, I just, you know, because the thing is, really, if you're a child of God, this is the truth right now. You should have no complaints. Why? Because you don't have, listen, if you always have access to everything, if you can always do anything that that you're supposed to do, if there's always going to be favor going to you, you have no reason to complain. Christians shouldn't be complainers. Sometimes we're the worst. Sometimes we're the worst. Oh, sometimes we look at it and say, oh, man, that was just, that's this and that, and you have this comment to make and that comment to make, and boy, don't you feel justified. But in the heavenly, for the Heavenly Father, you don't. Right. You're not justified to Him because He's seeing it saying, when are you going to come up to where I am? Yeah. You can stay down there and complain. Listen, you can keep complaining and still be a Christian. I'm just telling you the truth. There's plenty of Christians that have complained their entire lives and ended up in heaven. Yeah. I'm just telling you the truth. But they didn't live so good here. Yeah. They didn't have all the blessing of God. They didn't have everything that God had for them here. Yeah. Why? Because they were complainers. The Bible says that this is a sign of the last days, that this is a mockery towards God. Why? Because the outside world sees us, and they see us as complainers. They don't see us different. See, it's when you give a waitress that was really terrible, they know they're terrible. But when you give a waitress that was real terrible twice the amount of tip that you would give a good waitress, it speaks to them. It does speak to them. We had a waitress that was terrible once, and that's exactly what we did. And she came back to the table, and she was like, you know, she wasn't apologizing, but you could tell she was convicted. She was like, why? I don't know if I can take this. And so we just want you blessed. You know, our God's good to us. We just want you blessed. Yeah. Telling you what, I give you opportunity. Now, I'm not saying I've done that every time. I mean, because we've also left a lot of bad reviews, too. Praise God. And I've gone back and fixed a few, too. Yeah. I have. Praise the Lord. But, you know, I've had this attitude before, too. What happens, you know, if I'm out of town? Well, they don't know who I am anyways. They don't know I'm a pastor. They don't know I'm a Christian. You know, and it's like the Spirit come on me and it's kind of like, why not? Why don't they know? Shouldn't they know? I mean, if you're trapped, I don't care where you're at. Shouldn't they know you're a Christian? Shouldn't they look at your life and say, I don't even know anything about this person, but why are they different? What's shining about them? Why are they so, why? Because you know what will happen? When you start living the way that God has you live, it's going to be a spiritual glow. There'll be a glow about you. People will look at you and they won't even know what it is, but they'll be drawn to you. They'll just want to come up to you. They'll want to talk to you. They want to be part of what you're doing. Yeah. They'll just, I don't know why, but I'm drawn to you. Do I know you? Is there something? There's something that brings me in. Yeah. Why? Because the light, that's exactly what we're supposed to be. We're light to the world. What do you think Jesus meant by we're light to the world? Complain about every little thing that don't go your way? Man, hallelujah. What if Paul and Silas You all looked at each other and said, well, this sucks. We're out serving God, doing the work of the Lord, giving Him, we've given our lives for Him. You know that, Silas? I gave up everything for Him. And now I'm in jail. I wanted to go over here. He said, no, you come over here. I come over here, right where God sends me, and here I am in jail. What would have happened then? Well, we'd have a lot of different scripture, I can tell you that. And it certainly wouldn't have been written by Paul. But what do we have? We have almost two-thirds of the New Testament, written by a man who learned to live like he should. A man who, when he was in prison and beaten in prison, not just put in prison, did anybody want to get beat up? But this man was beaten, thrown into the inner prison. He was put in the worst. I mean, these weren't like these clean prisons the United States has. These were prisons that were filthy and they were probably rat infested and slime and all this nastiness. And they're sitting there in the most uncomfortable position in stocks, in chains, and they're singing praises to God. What's different about them? They're shining their light. They're not complainers. They're not grumblers. They know that no matter how bad it looks in the moment, it's about to be better. And that's exactly what happened. So I just encourage you with this message. We need to be people. Let's just strive. Lord, help me just to be better in whatever area it is. Lord, help me to not be deceived. Lord, help me to not be a complainer. You know, I've been saying it so much. Lord, help me to not have an opinion. Help me to not have an opinion because it don't matter. It doesn't matter. What my flesh wants, it doesn't matter. My flesh will be fully satisfied when I have what the Lord brings me. Amen? Let's be satisfied in God. As it says there in 1 Timothy, we didn't get to it. But it says, godliness with contentment is great gain. Amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. Hope you were helped tonight. I certainly was.